Tonight in the book of John, chapter number 12, Gospel of John, chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse number 1, Gospel of John, chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? And given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Father, tonight we thank you for this great opportunity to be in the house of God. We thank you, Father, for these songs about heaven, these songs of Zion, songs that uplift your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray tonight for the next few moments that you would bless the reading and the preaching of your word. Father, I pray that you would help me preach and proclaim what you put in my heart. I pray you'd help me, Father, outside of my abilities and capabilities to proclaim the word of God. Lord, I pray, Father, that the seed would be planted. It would bring forth much fruit for your honor and glory. Well, thank you, Father, for all you do in our presence tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the Gospel of John, Jesus opens his public ministry at a wedding in a town of Canaan. Here in the 12th chapter of John, he closes his public ministry at a home, small home, in a town called Bethany. I believe here we can see, because of that, it shows that Jesus puts a great emphasis on the home. I believe we all would say, and you'd probably agree with me tonight, that society and America and the shape that we're in is because of the lack and the destruction of the home. You know, if Satan, if he can defeat, splinter, break apart, destroy the home, it overflows and it filters and shows up in society. You know the story well. The one we read tonight in John chapter 12, it's portrayed and it's shown in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. In John chapter number 11, Jesus comes. He raises Lazarus from the dead. There's a great stir in Jerusalem. Lazarus has become what we would call a spectacle. Everyone wants to know and see this one that was raised from the dead. A week now, Jesus is going to go to the cross, die and suffer in shame for my sins and for your sins. But yet he stops at a little town, a town called Bethany, a small home, one last time. Notice the reaction of Jesus stopping at this home. The reaction of Jesus' presence in these few that's gathered. Jesus comes, supper's going to be prepared, supper's going to be served. Martha responds. She reacts by serving. She reacts by cooking and working. Mary responds by getting and opening and breaking open a box of ointment of perfume to anoint Christ. Judas responds, reacts by criticizing this gift. We see Jesus reacts by rebuking Judas. Many of the people react because they heard Jesus was in the house, that Lazarus was in the presence, so they wanted to come see. The chief priests react and begin to plot and consult to put Lazarus to death also. These first few 11 verses in John chapter 12 is filled with reactions and responses to Jesus' presence. Less than a week before his crucifixion, 6 days before, a few days before he'd give his life a ransom for many, Jesus stops at Bethany. Why? Because there was a celebration. There was a feast. There was a gathering, a rejoicing for what Jesus had performed in one man's life. The book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, tells us that they were at Simon Leper's house. Some say that Simon the leper was related to maybe Martha or Mary, but we find that he's there at his house in a place called Bethany, the house of misery. And now the God of all grace, God of all mercy has come. He's presented them with his presence. There's a great reaction. This man who once had been dead is now alive. One who once was cast out of a society, Simon the leper, is now hosting them in his home. We find a man who once was sick. He's now made home. They're celebrating. They're rejoicing. It's a feast. It's a gathering. It's a celebration for a man that once was dead and now is alive. He was laid in the grave, but we see he's now sitting at the table. There's an atmosphere in this home of thankfulness, an atmosphere, a sense of gratitude, celebrating what this man Jesus had performed in their lives. I begin to think, when Jesus stops by, when celebrating, when we're rejoicing, when we're praising, when we have a heart and an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude for what he's performed and done in each and every one's life, that's when he will stop by. No wonder the psalmist says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest, the one that dwells, the one that sits. The word is to abide in the praises of Israel. When you and I, those that have been resurrected from the dead, regenerated, born from above, passed from death unto life, saved, quickened, made alive, born again, began to think it with a heart of celebration and praise and rejoicing for what he's done in our lives, we will see the presence of Christ. Jesus stops by and he mandates a reaction, a response to many, a reaction to his presence. You know, when he stops by, he did this morning, some will lift their hands in praise and their voice in celebration or a testimony or sing a song. It's a reaction, a response to when our Savior stops by. But notice number two, the raising of Lazarus. Verse number one, the Bible says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Lazarus, we know Mary, Martha's brother, his name means whom God has helped. I believe we all can say tonight that God has helped each and every one of us. Jesus helped Lazarus. Just a chapter earlier, he raised him from the dead. You say, preacher, what's so marvelous about this one that's been raised from the dead? We know Lazarus is rejoicing. We know his family's rejoicing. They're in jubilation and celebration for what God had done for them. But notice how Lazarus is marked. He had been dead for 4 days. Yet when Jesus speaks his name, when Jesus performs this wonderful miracle, Lazarus, from the rest of his life, is characterized, is known as, he's marked for the rest of his life. What do you say, preacher? What do you mean by marked? They would see Lazarus, and they would say, that's him. That's Lazarus, the one which was dead, whom God raised from the dead. Every time, every episode, every time Lazarus is mentioned in the New Testament, John chapter 12, verse number 1, we find it in John chapter 12, verse 9, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 17, the people therefore that was there with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead. You see, Lazarus was marked by the man that God had raised from the dead. I want to say tonight, what a testimony. What a record. What a way to be known. What a way to be remembered, knowing that you're the one that God has raised from the dead. It's a great testimony. Wouldn't it be something if God recognized each and every one of us by saying, that's the man, that's the woman who Jesus had miraculously saved. That's the one whose language and that's the one whose lifestyle pleases God. That's the one who lives for Jesus Christ. Every one of us tonight in this sanctuary, we should be known for what Jesus Christ has done for us in our lives. Impacted us, influenced us, inhabited us in such a way that everyone knows it. He raised Lazarus. Lazarus, it was known. There was a great stir. There was talk. He was a spectacle of the one that God had raised from the dead. But look at verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was the one with them that sat at the table with him. Note in our text that Martha is serving. Martha so many times is ridiculed. She's mocked, she's looked down upon because she's working, she's laboring, she's serving, and her sister Mary is worshiping. The word serve in our text, it means to minister to. It means to take care of. It's the idea to wait upon. They tell me that word serve, it's a imperfect verb. Meaning it's a continuous, never-ending, a time, a continual verb. It means that Martha, she not only served, but Martha cooked the meal. She waited on these there at the table, and it implies she does so in a way of love and compassion that it affected everyone around her. It's a continuous verb. It means that the love and the service she put into her serving was ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. It was a gift that Martha did that kept on giving. Let me say, Martha was not inferior to Mary. Whether it's through ministry or through a committee or whether it's through a random act of love, there's many here tonight that you serve your Lord and Savior, you serve Jesus Christ by serving the brothers and sisters and the members of Fletcher First Baptist Church. And I want to say I thank you for that. I commend you for that. Thank you for your service. But yes, we need some Marthas who serve and worship their Lord and Savior by praising Him and showing their love and devotion and gratitude by serving others. But we also need some Marys. Those that sit at his feet, those that learn from him day by day, those who visibly praise and worship Jesus Christ. But let's not forget those that serve. 1 week before Christ's death, he stops by this home. There's a thank you celebration. They're gathered together. They're thanking, rejoicing for what God had done for Lazarus, raising him from the dead, and what God had done for this family. And Mary responds. She worships God. Martha responds. She responds by serving. We find that the chief priests respond by consulting to put Lazarus to death. But notice verse number 2. The Bible says, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Martha's serving. Mary's going to be worshiping. Judas is going to be criticizing. Chief priest is going to be consulting to put Lazarus to death. And here Lazarus is just sitting at the table. What impresses me and what amazes me about this text is what the scripture does not say. We're going to be going to a meal here in just a few moments. We're going to be eating. We're going to be sitting at the table like Lazarus. We're going to be amongst brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of the blessed benefits of that meal is going to be fellowship. But notice, here is Lazarus. He's sitting at a table. He's going to be eating. He's going to be served. He's going to be in the presence of Christ. And Lazarus never says one word. Never speaks. Lazarus, in paradise for 4 days. Can you imagine the testimony, what could come out of Lazarus' mouth? Those gathered, Lazarus, what did you see? Lazarus, tell us the views and the sights and the sounds. Lazarus, who was there? Did you see Abraham, Moses, or one of the prophets? Did you see David, the king? What did you see, Lazarus? Lazarus, how did it feel to come back from earth to earth from paradise? Yet every time you see Lazarus' name in the scriptures in the New Testament, Lazarus never speaks a word. It's concealed. What a testimony. What a testimony Lazarus could have gave about the afterlife. But yet, he's silent. He never speaks a word. It's as if the Holy Ghost, the author of this book, veils this paradise, heaven, the afterlife from you and I. You know our Bible tonight? It's inspired. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fantasy. It's not wishful thinking. It wasn't given by the will of men, but it was given by holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Our pastor spoke about it this morning. Talked about Paul caught up into the third heaven. Paul said, whether in body or out of body, I know not, but God knoweth. Paul goes on to say, I heard some unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. But were unspeakable words. It's the phrase to not be described. He said these words are never, they're not to be described. And he said it's not lawful to utter. The Greek word laeo, which means it's never to be discussed in a public, a private, or casual manner. Lazarus, been dead 4 days in paradise. He could have made a fortune. Can you imagine the seminars that Lazarus could have gave on the sights and the views and the sounds of paradise? Can you imagine the books, the volumes of books he could have wrote about all that he experienced in paradise? Even a movie made after this one who'd been dead 4 days. But yet, Lazarus is never recorded in saying one word. Lazarus is one that sat at the table. There in the house in Bethany, Mary and Martha, Simon the leper, gathered around. Jesus comes with his disciples. Many began to gather. I was thinking just a few moments ago, what was going through their mind? Here's this man that came back, yet silent. He's never said anything about the afterlife. Never said anything about what took place. The disciples were there. Maybe Peter and James, John or Thomas, maybe a Matthew or Philip broke out in song and began to sing. We read of a place called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful, oh, how beautiful heaven must be. We find Christ raised Lazarus in a physical realm. But let me say moreover tonight, Christ, if you're saved, he's raised you spiritually. How beautiful. Well, they've sung about it all night. How beautiful heaven must be. We find there's a reaction to those in this house. This raising of Lazarus, they came because it was a spectacle. There was a great stir. But notice the reverence of Mary in verse number 3. The Bible says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Mary took something. The Bible says is very costly, highly valuable, of great value, something that was precious in those days. The Greek word is only used twice in the New Testament. Here it's very costly. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, there was a merchant man who went out seeking goodly pearls, seeking and sought after goodly pearls. And the Bible says in verse 46, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, very costly, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see this pearl of great price? That's the church. The merchant man is Jesus Christ. He thinks highly of you and I tonight. Mary gives an ointment of high price, of great value, highly esteemed to Jesus. She gave lavishly. She gave freely. She gave wholeheartedly. She gave her very best. Why? Because she wanted to worship the one that had done so much for her and her family. I was thinking about King David. King David, like Mary, wanted to worship God. And he came to a parcel of ground, a threshing floor, that was going to give to him a free at no charge. And David says, I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer a burnt offering unto the Lord my God, which cost me nothing. David, like Mary, he felt that his very best, God is worthy. God is worthy of praising and honoring and giving his very best of love and expression of devotion. Is he not? He paid a price. He gave his life. He gave his blood, a ransom for many. Yet, we need to give our treasures, our hearts, our love, our time to Christ. It's a reverence of Mary. Notice in verse 3, it says, and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, the manners and customs of that first century Greek-Roman world, a woman would never, never let down her hair. Paul tells us that a woman's hair was her glory. A woman letting down her hair in public would have been a shame and great disgraceful. It would indicate that she had loose morals and a woman of no character. But Mary, despite all that, she just dismissed these notions. She's saying, God, you're more to me than what society thinks. You're more to me than financial ruin or financial gain. You're more to me. And if my glory's my hair, I'm giving you all my glory. Although there was a great response to his presence. And there's the raising of the dead and this reverence that Mary made. Notice the repining of Judah. Judas grumbled. He murmured. He complained. He griped. And he began to repine and was supposed to be a follower of Christ. Verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Here's a celebration. They're gathered together in a small home in Bethany. They're thanking Christ for what he's done for Lazarus and this small family. Jesus shows up 6 days before his crucifixion with the disciples. They're worshiping Christ. Martha's serving. It's a time of thankfulness and gratitude and rejoicing and praying. And here Judas begins to grumble, complain, and repine. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Let me say tonight, if Judas would have never responded, if he would have never opened his mouth, you and I would never know the magnitude the depth, the value of Mary's worship. He says it's 300 pence. 300 pennies. We know in Matthew chapter number 20, the parable of the day's labor, a fair labor, a fair wage in those days was 1 pence. It was 1 penny a day. So we think that this is 300 pence, 300 pennies. It was a year's salary that Mary would lay down, would break and anoint Christ's feet. Very costly was the price that Mary paid. How deep her devotion was to her Savior. You know, I don't know, but I doubt any one of us tonight, as we came into the sanctuary, we took out our checkbooks and we wrote whatever we make in a year's wage and put it in the offering plate. I'm sure, maybe, perhaps, but I'm thinking that no one wrote a check to Fletcher First Baptist Missions Program in the amount that you make in a year. Because Judas was repining, because Judas began to complain, Christ shows us the value and the depth of one follower that was thankful that Jesus Christ saved their soul, blessed their family, and put them in this path to follow him. Notice Judas is grumbling. He's complaining. He's repining. And God takes this and uses it for a positive. I believe Jesus is using us to tell us tonight, no matter what the world mocks, and no matter when the world scoffs at the children and the church of the living God, he still has a remnant. He still has children of folks that although they're mocking and they're ridiculing the cause of Christ, there's still some that's devoted to him. No wonder the psalmist says in Psalm 76:10, surely the wrath of man will praise although Judas repines, grumbles, complains, and murmurs, he uses it to glorify his own name. Let me say tonight, Christ, it's nothing for him to take those negatives that's in and around your life and turn it into glory and honor for his sake. Reaction to his presence. There's a raising of Lazarus. There's a reverence of Mary, the repining of Judah. But look at the regard of the many in verse number 11. The Bible says, because that by the reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. It's a simple meal, a simple celebration, thanking Christ for what he has done for them. They come to see Lazarus. Most of them came from Jerusalem to see this one who was dead, whom God raised from the dead. They see Lazarus. They hear Jesus. And the Bible says in verse number 11 that many of the Jews went their way. It means to go under or go beneath. As they gathered outside the home, they saw Lazarus, they hear Jesus, they see this atmosphere, and they went away. They go back home, and it indicates as on their way back that many believed on Jesus. On their travels back, on their way back home, perhaps when they're in their home, days later, weeks later, months later, they believed on Jesus. You know, a person that was here this morning, God was present, his spirit was made known, there was liberty to preach, people were rejoicing, they can leave a service lost, but I'm thankful the Holy Ghost can go home with them on their way back home, in their living room, days later, weeks later, even years later, if that seed was planted, it can bring forth much fruit. Folks, don't give up on your loved ones. Don't give up on those ones that you've been praying for. The last time you witnessed to them, the last time they came to a church service, they may have not gotten saved. But God can take a negative and turn it to a positive. we see this rebuke of Christ. He tells Judas to let her alone. Against the day of my burying, has she kept this? For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Jesus shows up in a home. Reactions. There's rejoicing. Mary's worshiping. Martha serving. Judah's repining. There's many that believe they get birth in the kingdom of God. All because he stopped by where they were at. My question tonight is, when Jesus begins to speak to you, no matter what it may be, no matter if it's come to the altar, give a song, a testimony, to witness to a co-worker, to go tell your loved ones that you love them and you want to promise them and you want them to promise you that they'll meet you in the morning. No matter what Christ tells us to do, when he stops by our way, in our home, in our family, what's our reaction going to be? What would your reaction to be? Would you serve? Would you do what you could to make it better for brothers and sisters in Christ? Would you worship like Mary? Would you repine like Judas? What would your reaction be tonight? Let's all stand. Natalie, you and Misty and Jason sang a song this morning after the youth choir, "That I Could Go Free." Is that something y'all could sing tonight? I'm thankful. Like Lazarus, that there was a day that Christ raised me spiritually, set me free, set me on a solid rock, established my going, put a new song in my heart, all because of the reaction that I had when he spoke to my heart. What would your action be tonight if Christ asked you to do something for him? Father, tonight we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for each and every one that's gathered here. Lord, for the songs that was already sung that stir our hearts and minds. Father, for that promise and blessed hope that one day we'll see you face to face. Father, I pray, though, tonight, Lord, that we could promise you that any time, anywhere, anything that you ask us to do, our reaction would be yes, Lord. Our action would be follow you, whatever you desire. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us. I pray you'd speak to the hearts of your people. I don't know the needs, Father, but I'm thankful you do. Help us, Lord, to respond in the way that's pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray.